So he said again, you would love me if God were your father, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Okay, chapter 1, in the beginning he says it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, or actually literally face to face with God, and the Word was God, referring to his Jesus Christ before the incarnation. He was the Word of God. This is what he's talking about. Okay? Verse 118. No one has seen God. Remember he said, I proceeded from the Father or from God. No one has clearly seen the full Godhead or clearly understood him at any time. The only begotten God is actually the translation, not Son, is what it's talking about. Or God only begotten is how it's translated, who is in the heart or the innermost being of the Father. He has revealed or explained him. So when he says, I proceeded from the Father or from God, he's saying, why? Because I was always with him. I was the eternal Word, you know. But something changed. Something happened. Then he said what? Then God did something. He sent me. He wanted me to take on the human nature. We decided in the Godhead this is what must be done. You know, he is one with God, the eternal God. And this is how we get John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And when it says God here, it's referring to God as we know the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word, all referred to as God. It says what? For God so loved the world. The word, again, love here, his benevolence toward man. His willing, not his benevolence is probably the closest we have of God's known, the word we know for love. It means to have goodwill and good intentions for people, to be kind. It's basically what it means. And he was saying what the opposite is to be have ill will or malice, to be malicious or spiteful for no reason, you know, just to be evil. So again, God's nature is just the opposite. So he's saying that God so loved mankind, he saw him redeemable, even in his wicked state, and therefore his intention was to save him. And this is what he's saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The one who is face-to-face with him, the Word, in a sense, said, okay, I'll go. You know, we have to redeem man, and the Godhead has to do this. An angel cannot do this. And so in that moment, he had to agree to take on. It's interesting. The Scripture said he offered himself through the Eternal Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit acted on Mary and united him with the nature to give him the body. He emptied himself. Philippians said he emptied himself. Something restrained, and God did this and took on the human nature and his Son. But notice when it says, for he gave his only begotten, we can also say, and he sent his only begotten. So he was sent forth to do something. And at that moment, it was agreed he would take on the human nature. And what did he do? Somehow he laid aside the use of his divinity. We can say it was restrained. The potential was there, but restrained. As a human, he could not have access to divinity. You see, that was what made him uniquely human. He could not know certain things. See, he limited himself. He had to grow in knowledge and wisdom with God as a man. It was not instant with him. He had to go through the process. So in this process, it's as if the divine nature in him is restrained. You know, and that's why he asked the Father toward the end, you know, when he's going to be going to the cross, he says, and restore to me the glory that I had with you before the world was, implying that the Spirit had to do something to restrain the use of divinity, you know, and for him to obey God. He had to ask for it back, and he did. He didn't say, I will take it. But once he gave up himself, he did make an interesting statement, which shows you the divinity coming into play. He said, I have received the commandment from my Father that I can lay down my life and I can take it up again. See, then the Spirit of holiness, the full divinity, comes back, his glory, which he asked for. And this is what he receives. And so when he's elevated into heaven, he is fully God again, yet he takes his humanity with him. He never lays aside his humanity. Isn't it interesting? He lays his divinity aside temporarily so he can function fully as a man. And then when he's done his job as a man, he receives the full divinity back, yet his manhood has risen up. So we see the elevation. And he's given a name above angels and back to the eternal Godhead, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the Word of God, which Revelation says is written on his thigh. We say him what? Even when he comes on the horse as a man, he's still God. See, this is what it's telling us. So he's saying this, what is it? God sent and gave. And so this is what Jesus is saying. I did not come on my own initiative. You know, we in the Godhead are perfectly in harmony. I did not decide this as a man. It was decided for me. You know, but I was capable of obeying and disobeying, and I obeyed. He said, that's why I always abide in the Father's love, because I always do those things that please him. He always did it as a man. And see, this is important to us. So again, he says this to let them know his relationship is uniquely different. Why? And now he's going to say something interesting. We'll stay here a while. Why do you not understand what I am saying? He's saying, why can't you comprehend this? And then he answers his own question. It is because you cannot hear my word. If we understood this one scripture, a lot of the other scriptures for people who have a confusion would come into play. He's saying, even though I give you facts and truth, there's a part I know you cannot comprehend because you have been hardened. You haven't understood as leaders what you have done to God's word, and that it's the Father's good pleasure to hide the truth from you, wisdom, because of your sin. And that's why he sent me to teach parables that you will not understand, because you're still in resistance. You will not listen to what I've said from the beginning. You're continually, while I'm trying to enlighten you and show you the Father's will, you're still plotting to murder me. You're trying to trap me still while I am trying. And so even if I give you true words, you will not be able to comprehend them because you are of a murderous spirit. You are being motivated by the devil, and therefore you cannot have spiritual understanding. I could tell you facts, mental facts, and it will not get through. Remember, we see that with Ahab. He's told by the prophet exactly what God's attitude toward him is, and he still can't seem to receive it. He's told more clearly than anybody that God has said, who will go and cause Ahab to fall for me? And even when he says, oh, I'll do it, the evil spirit, and the prophet tells, he's telling Ahab this. How will you do it? The demon asks God. The demon says, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. He's telling him right there, this is how I'm going to cause you to be killed. And Ahab hears this and still doesn't believe it. See, the Pharisees in the same position. Jesus has basically told them plain things, but he knows the Father's hiding it from them. Because, see, they're not willing to consider they're wrong. They don't understand and will not acknowledge their sin. Therefore, they cannot get the spiritual understanding. He does not give this to the wicked. Only of repentance is what he's interested in. Conviction of sin and repentance. And so, see, they do not get this. They have altered the Word of God. They have altered the law. Added their traditions. They've been greedy and covetous. They've sought honor among themselves. All of these were breaking God's word and disobeying him. They hardened themselves toward God's word, the law and the prophets. So when Jesus came, they weren't going to receive him properly. They had received, rejected the little things. They were not faithful in little. Therefore, they could not receive the greater when he came. See, so he's telling them why. And yet, it's interesting, while he's talking in the temple, the common people are getting saved. And they're understanding some of this. But the Pharisees cannot. See, Jesus told them why, too, later. Remember, the Pharisees, they're intellectual, they're brilliant. And even Peter and them are wondering why they can't get it. And he says, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but not them. And he says, and then he prayed and said, and I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven, that you have hidden these things. God thanked the Father that he didn't reveal this to them. Isn't it interesting? See, once you harden yourself toward God, he starts hardening yourself toward you. And when you see the truth plainly, you cannot comprehend it. The demon, and that's why people believe false doctrine. That's why they have a mental assent and they'll mouth Christianity and think they're Christians and they're not. Or they're backslidden and lukewarm and carnal and they don't even know it. They think they're okay like Laodicea. They think they're okay like Sardis. And they're going to drop dead and go to hell, saying, "Lord, Lord." They will be just like the Pharisees, saying, "Well, we don't care what you say. God's our Father." And Jesus, who was the Father in him, was simply saying, "That's not true. You're not my children." I ought to know. Your father is the devil. Because you are a murderer, and you're doing the works of your father. You prove who you are by your actions. And he's saying, "And I prove who I am by what I'm telling you." Okay? And he's let them know this before. He purposely taught in parables for that reason, that they could not understand. Amos makes it clear. Says, "And they shall run to and fro throughout the world seeking the truth." And Amos says, "But they will never understand." See, the Pharisees claim to be seeking God's will and want to do God's will. And Jesus says, "But you can't, because your father's the devil." You know? And you have been blinded by him. You don't understand the truth. So what? If you can't comprehend the truth, what does he give you? He gives you a lie, and you believe the lie. So I'm telling you who I am and where I came, and you're basically saying I'm a liar. I've told you the truth, but you're the one being lied to, but you don't know it. God has hardened you, and you don't comprehend it. So this is what he means when he says, and he answers it, "Why do you not understand?" You know why you don't understand? He says, "Because what? My word is not in you. You cannot hear my word." They're the first group that Jesus talked about sowing the seed. He said, and the seed went, and immediately the devil comes and steals the word, lest they understand. See, they never could get that far. See? He says, immediately. See, because their heart's not receptive. It's already fighting God. They have no soil for God's word to work, so it has no effect on them, but to harden them. The seed falls on a hard heart, and because it can't germinate at all, the devil comes, he says, and steals it. And what does he do when he takes the truth? He leaves them with a lie. See? That's what he always does. So they really do not believe who he is. They're not lying to him. They're lying to themselves. See? Because they can't comprehend, the Holy Spirit will not let them. See, that's the danger, and it does not change. God still deals with people that way today. That's why many people can say, "Lord, Lord," and they're on their way to hell. That's why many ministers and teachers can teach false doctrine. That's why many backsliders and lukewarm people are on their way to hell, and they think they're okay. See, the Pharisees that keep saying, "God's our Father, God's our Father," and Jesus says, "No, your father's the devil." And many multitudes, didn't Jesus say, will come in that day saying, "Lord, Lord." They believe he's the Son of God and died on the cross for their sins, and he's going to say, "They're cursed of my Father. They did not do the works of my Father. They did not practice righteousness. They did not follow me." But they believed in their head. Well, the devil believes that. See, James tells us this. They tremble, and they believe it, but it hasn't saved them. And it's not going to save anybody else who doesn't fall in line with God's will. Okay. So he's told them, this is why you cannot understand. I will not open your eyes. God sent me to blind this type. Remember Isaiah speaking of Jesus, "Go and stop their ears so they can't hear." It means so they can't hear spiritually. Go and blind them spiritually so they can't see. That's why Jesus said, he said that the blind would see and that those who see would be made blind. See, he came to take the natural blind person and he healed him. And the Pharisees that found fault with him because he did it on the Sabbath, you know, God says, "And I've come to blind you." You know, you stumble over the simplest things out of your wicked hearts and your rebellion. Therefore, I will put a darker blindness and you will not comprehend what I'm doing. And so this is simply God's principle that continually works. You are of your father, the devil. Who's he talking to? The priest, those sent from the chief priest, the leading Sadducees and Pharisees who are in the temple at this time. And the ones they've sent to argue and trap him and are planning to murder him and kill him. So he makes it plain. What is he saying? Your father is the devil. You are the religious system that claims to represent God and says Abraham's your father and you're a true Jew. And he says, you're a liar. your faults. You don't know what you're talking about, and your father is the devil. Okay, he makes it very plain. You can see why they hated him. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Again, he's talking about basically the beginning of mankind, his nature to tempt Adam and Eve. You'll see two things that he's emphasizing, that you're a murderer and you believe lies. And then that's the two things that he did basically beginning. He lied to Eve and trapped her. That was his weapon. And then Cain, entered him with a spirit of murder to kill his brother. This is what he's talking about from the beginning of this time. We have no place where Satan ever murdered anybody before then. It meant he inspired Cain. He was the crouching demon or animal tempting him as a symbol of a crouching animal. Remember, God told Cain, sin lies at your door as a crouching beast. And he said, overcome it, subdue it. Well, it was the devil coming and whispering lies to him and told him to murder his brother Abel, and he did it. See, so he's showing us he was under his power and influence. Why? Because Cain was not pleasing to God. Cain did not please God, therefore he was open to the devil's influences. Abel was called righteous. He sacrificed and obeyed God. Cain did not. So Cain started to believe the lie and thought he could get away with it. See, so he's a master. We see where it proceeds from. And he's basically, again, if the Pharisees had had an honest heart, these here he's talking to, some of them would have caught on then and said, I'm the one, you know, I see what you're talking about. And we know later some of the priests were saved. And some of the Pharisees did come, not many, but it happened. But as a whole, they were hardened further and further. They didn't get better, they got worse, okay? So again, notice what he says. He was a murderer from the beginning, who the devil, and does not stand in the truth. He never abides in truth since he has introduced himself to humanity. He came as a liar from the beginning. He initiated the lie with Eve. Remember, she had what? Eve had the truth. She knew the truth either directly from God or she was told it through Adam. Doesn't matter. She was told, and she spoke that she knew it. She said, we can eat of every tree, but of this one we cannot. So she knew the law. And she said, and we cannot eat it, and she said, not even touch it. Some people say, well, she added to God's word. Well, we don't know the whole conversation. She may not have. She understood you don't eat this thing. And why would you be over there touching it? She must have sensed that. Don't get near it. Don't play with it. But she did. You know, and he told her a lie. He basically said, well, you won't die. And God knows you'll be smart like him if you eat this. See, he made her believe a lie. He enticed her. God's keeping something from you. You know, and if you eat it, you won't die. Well, he was a liar. And notice what she said. He caused me to forget. What did he cause her to forget? The truth. She stopped believing the truth and believed the lie. The devil blinded her because what did she do? She kept listening to him. She kept reasoning with him. See, she shouldn't have done it. He knew what he was doing. He beguiled her. He deceived her. How? He kept the conversation going. See, she should have stopped immediately and walked away. Said, I don't want to talk to you. You're telling me this is something God told me not to. Bye. But see, he lured her. See, that's how the devil entices and works. She gave him too much time, and he won. That's what it amounted to. Okay? She knew the truth, and then she didn't believe the truth. And then, interesting, Jesus said this to some of the Pharisees. You know certain truths, you know, but you don't really believe. And it said some of them believed, but they loved the praises of men. They liked the glory and the honor. They knew it would cost them to follow Jesus. So they ain't no different than many Christians today. They know what the Lord requires, and they won't do it. But they'll run to church and they'll do all these other things, but they're still going to end up in hell because they're not obeying God. See? They're not his. Okay. You are of your father the devil. You want to do the desires of your father, which is to murder me. He was a murderer from the beginning of the human race and does not stand in the truth. He never has since his fall from heaven. because there is no truth in him. They cannot abide in truth. Why? How come there is no truth in him? Because the Spirit of truth is not in him. He was the light bearer, the son of the morning as an angel, and the truth was in him. And all the angels in creation, he was probably the highest of all creations. He was the covering cherub. It meant he stood closest to God as the seraphims. Many believe he was a seraphim, a burning one. That's what it meant, a burning one. So he walked among the stones of fire, the angels and those closest to God. He may have been one of the holiest, or the chief one. He said, in wisdom and you was perfect in the day you were created. Who is wisdom, God? You were the light bearer. You reflected as an angel the glory of God, as Jesus reflected to humanity the glory of God. You reflected to the angels in a way that no other did. Until iniquity was found in you. When you rebelled and separated your will and choice from God, ultimately that's what sin is, it's independence. It's you declare the 4th of July for yourself. I want to be independent of God. And when he didn't understand the consequences, but he found it out. God let it run its course. One third of the angels fell for it. And when he decided, I will be equal to God, I will ascend and be like God. See, he started to say things, and his wisdom was corrupted. And at a certain time, God got tired of it and let it run its course, and then he cast them out. And when he cast them out of heaven, what did he do? The light bearer became the prince of darkness. God removed all truth and holiness from him. All the angels now are demons. They're incapable of good or truth because God has nothing in them. He removed everything of himself. And that's why it says here, because there is no truth in him. There is no part of Satan that desires to tell the truth from the right spirit. He'll quote scripture, which is truth. He did it to Jesus perfectly. But he quoted it out of context or he misused it. But he quoted it perfectly. That's why I tried to get Jesus to fall for it. If he could get him, he knew he had to get him over the word. That's why they fought over the word. You know? No, he can use beautiful scripture when it suits him. He does. That's why he can allow false teachers to teach the Bible truth. If he can damn them by one doctrine, he don't care what else they believe. What does it matter? He'll give mental assent to scripture. He don't care if people believe who he is. He wins if they don't obey God. See, all the other stuff don't matter to him. If you want to serve him as a devil, he says, well, I'm the devil. If you don't want to believe in me, that's fine too. Just don't believe in Jesus and serve him. See, he wins. See, he knows how to play this game. But there's no truth in him. As in God, the scripture says what? He is the Father of lights in whom there is no darkness, no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in him at all. It means he what? He's the exact opposite. He cannot lie. There's no lying in him. There's no deceitfulness in his character to deceive for evil. The closest we can get to God deceiving is he punishes the wicked by refusing the truth to him and sending him a lying spirit. And that's justice and holiness coming into play. But it means in his nature, he is not a liar. He cannot lie. He cannot deny who he is or his holiness. He cannot be deceitful in the evil sense. See, there's jealousy that's evil, but God can be jealous and it's good. There's deceiving the wicked, which is God's holiness and his right to do this, but he could not deceive the righteous. See, again, we see what is sin. It's the motivation and the purpose of it. See? And so again, he's saying there is no evil nor sin in God to any degree. He is light. And so what is it saying about the devil? There is no righteousness, no good, no truth in him. We're seeing two opposite poles. We have a difficulty dealing with this because we're human and we're capable of both. It's hard for us to comprehend a being so pure and holy that there's no sin at ever. And yet there's a being so evil and wicked that there's no good in him. No redeemable factor. That's why angels and demons cannot be redeemed. They've walked in the greatest of light. God has nothing else to offer them. He gave them free choice and they chose to rebel. Same as Adam and Eve. Doesn't matter if they were tricked or deceived. They disobeyed the test. They proved disloyal by not doing simply what they were told. And that was the test that God had a right to do. Okay, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature or out of his own initiative, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What is it saying here? It's a great thing he's saying here. Jesus called the devil the father of the wicked. What is he the father of? He's a father of something that God never could be the father of. God is the creator of all, but he gave the ability, when he gave free moral choice and agency to the angels, he let the devil do something. He invented sin. He is the father means originator. He is the originator of sin, the lie, rebellion against God. See, he created something God will not or could not, because it was not in his nature to do. But he allowed the wicked free moral agent to make this choice. He let man make choices that God will not make. People say, well, God can lie if he wants to. The Bible says he cannot because he'd never want to. So you'll go around in circles and you'll attribute to God something evil. See? He said he cannot lie. There's no lie in him. Isn't it interesting? And he also said that if he would give an anchor in Jesus Christ, and if people came to him, he would give them a hope. You know, if they come. But see, when they get to a certain place, he don't draw them, so they won't come. See, it all works in there. So he said, well, there's no untruth in God, but there's no truth in the devil. So he's the originator of sin. He's the father of that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. He's the God of this world. What is this world he's talking about? The world of sin and wickedness. He is the master and the originator of it. And God permitted it so. You know, again, that scripture's been misunderstood, and think God's into Hinduism. He's not. Many translate, he says, I am Jehovah who creates good and evil. The context there is not he's the originator or he works evil, but again, he masters it and controls it. It's under him. God's devil is his devil, and he uses him to suit his purposes, and he overrides him, and he will deal with him when he's ready. You know, but he does not do evil himself. See, that's why James said in Scripture, there is no evil. He cannot be tempted with evil. You know. See, it's not in him. No more than goodness would. See, that's why the devil cannot be saved, or demons. They can't even be tempted for good. If God was to offer them salvation, they'd mock and curse God. They have no comprehension. See, it's so twisted. They're past redemption. That's why he did not seek to redeem them. Okay. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Interesting. You do not believe me. And he basically said, you cannot believe. No man comes to the Father, lest the Spirit of the Father draw him. No man comes to the Father until he's convicted by the Holy Ghost of sin. And he will not deal with certain people after a certain time. And he basically implied to the Pharisees, you cannot hear me. And yet, while he was speaking, many of the common people, we can say in that term, they got saved in Jesus. They believed on him and followed him. But these people could not comprehend him nor understand what he was saying. Again, because their heart did not respond properly to the dealing of the Holy Spirit. They had continually plotted to kill him. And they were still entertaining and planning and yielding to the spirit of murder the whole time he's talking to them. So where is their repentance? Where is their conviction? They don't see nothing wrong with what they're doing. Again, remember what Jesus said later. They'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor. You know? And that's what they believed. Okay? Isn't it astounding? Had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have killed him. But they did not believe he was the Lord of glory. They believed a lie when he told them the truth. And the Holy Spirit did not enlighten them. He sent them a hardening spirit to punish them further. That's God's justice. They turned and railed him and mocked him and ultimately killed him. And what did he say? Had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have killed him. God kept it from them. That was a part of the punishment. But it suited his purposes. That got him to the cross. See, God's wisdom, he doesn't even waste the devil. He doesn't waste the wicked. God is the greatest economist. You know? He knows how to deal with garbage. That's why he created hell. He knew what to do with the wicked ultimately. He said they have a purpose, hell. That was not ultimately their purpose. That's the purpose when they finally refuse to obey God. He separates them. What is hell and death? Separation. They're cast into outer darkness. That's what hell's called. What does it mean? Outer darkness. They're as furthest away from God in relationship as they can be. That's the torment of hell. That's the burning too. Whatever fire is to the soul, I mean the body, that's what hell is to the soul. It means they're totally away from God, and he does not show them no dealings. The Bible says utter contempt. That's the wrath of God. Once a person enters into hell, God turns his back and never gives them another thought of kindness. He cannot and does not. In heaven, it says the smoke of their torment ascends forever. But he does not observe them with kindness. He does not. See, that's the wrath and holiness of God. That's the hopelessness of hell. To know you got what you deserved and you got the truth and it's too late to do anything. That's the horror of hell. And I guarantee you that people in hell, they don't know if they've been there a year or 1,000 years because they're in an eternal state. That's the wrath of God. And that's what Jesus warned them against. He told the Pharisees on several terms, then anybody, how can you escape this? You shall receive the greater hell, he told them. Who? The religious hypocrite. God said would receive the more punishment in hell than the common sinner. Again, because of not only do they disobey God, they fight him and keep other people. See, they're really of the devil. Shows you how they are so false doctrine. And people who teach false doctrine are worse than murderers because they damn many souls. See, people don't see that they are the ones that God holds the most accountable. That's why I said that, you know, you were supposed to represent God, and here you misrepresented me. And you make people twice the hell you are by your false doctrine. That's what the Pharisees did. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. You've believed a lie. See, he says your father's a devil. Now he asks an interesting question, 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? Well, what other human could ever say this? None of the prophets dared say this. Moses never said this. No one. When Isaiah, and he was righteous at the state when the Lord showed him, he was calling him to be the prophet, and he immediately, when he saw the Lord on the throne and saw himself, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips who dwell on me. He saw what he was when he saw God's power. See, that's why no man, Jesus said, can see the Father and live. Not in this life. He's saying, no, the slightest sin would draw out God's wrath if you saw him in his full glory. That's why he veiled himself. That's why he came in Jesus Christ and veiled himself. That's why he did not come to judge while he was on the earth. See, he didn't come at that time. He will come. He says, you're already judged. You're already under the judgment of sin, but I'm not come to carry it out. That's why he acted kinder than the law. He didn't request that the Pharisees be put to death right then on the spot. The law would have. The law would have demanded many things instantly. He came with what? Grace and truth. He came with long-suffering. He veiled his holiness to a great degree. He veiled the wrath of God and restrained himself. Did God change? No. Scripture says he's angry with the wicked all day long. See, God can be angry at the same time, show mercy. Doesn't mean he changed. See, God's emotions are not like ours. We can only seem to exercise one at a time. God can so love the world and have good intentions toward him and send his son. At the same time, it says he can be angry with the sinner all day long. His wrath remains on them. See, it's an insult to his holiness. But he can restrain himself. That's his long suffering. So he's saying to them, which of you? And he's talking to the ones who want to murder him. And the Sadducees and the lawyers and the ones who've been trying to trap him at every place. And the worst they have said about him is he's healed someone on the Sabbath. He broke their law. He didn't break the law of God. See, they thought he broke the law of God. No, they broke the law of God. They added all of these rules that God never added. They added to God's word, which is simply what the devil did when he talked to Eve. Added and took from God's word. That's what the Pharisees did. The only other thing they could get him on, and again, is because of their blindness, not God's, when he claims equality to be the Son of God and to have existed. Those were the only two things they nailed him on. And they misunderstood and were blinded on that. They thought it was the truth. Twice two or three times he healed on the Sabbath, and they wanted to kill him for it. But he never broke the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law said he could do this. He wasn't working to make a living. He wasn't doing selfish work. Remember, he said, I always do those things. I always work the work of God. He did it 24. He lived in the eternal Sabbath like the Christian is supposed to. He wasn't bad. And that's why he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He understood this perfectly. Why? He created the Sabbath as God. And see, they misunderstood. They misunderstood and twisted the law and thought that they had him. That was the only two things. So he was saying to them, what sin can you find against me? And you know, they tried. And when they brought up it, he challenged them and he reproved them and explained to them why they were wrong. You know? And they kept trying, looking for him. What sin can you convict me of? He could have also added, if you can find that I've done one sin since I've been on this planet, you and everybody else are damned to hell. If you're smart, don't go looking for it. You better leave it alone, because it'll be you who will pay the price. Not one time did he ever utter a word or commit a sin against God. Isn't that astounding? See? He had to be put in the position of Adam without sinful nature, yet he had to live his whole life and never yield to sin once. Adam didn't have to do that. We don't know how Adam and Eve were along. They were along, but they evidently didn't last too long. But Jesus had to last a long time. And never once did he disobey the Father. That's what sin is. He said, I always do those things that please him. He was filled with the Spirit consistently, and the reason was he obeyed the Father, and the Spirit stayed with him. So he overcame every temptation and never yielded. He could call these Pharisees murderers and liars and hypocrites without ever getting his anger where it was sin. He could understand what it meant to be angry and sin not. How many of us could have done that? He could actually take a whip and beat them and be righteous God representative, and no sin was in the picture. How many of us could have done that? He could do it perfectly. And we know how close anger borders to sin. That's why we're told to be angry and sin not. It's one of those emotions that so easily moves into sin that we have to be very careful allowing ourselves. And there is righteous anger, and there's a place for it, to be angry with the wicked and the hypocrite and those who misrepresent God. And we want God's justice and vengeance when he's ready to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. See, it's personal vengeance and personal spite and personal retaliation that God's against. If people don't hate sin, they need to question whether they're Christian. If they're not disturbed and angry about... Remember Lot, it says that fornicating and the homosexuality and all the ways the Sodomites were acting, it said it vexed his righteous soul. That proves that he was right with God in the light he had. Well, people like to make Lot to be some carnal, ignorant person. No, he wasn't. Scripture says he was a righteous man. He may not have had the life Abraham had. Now, let me tell you a little secret, too. Abraham didn't live in Sodom, either. He may not have fared as well either, if he was there. The Bible puts no blame on Lot. Everybody else does. Everybody else puts blame on Job. God didn't. His friends did. The devil did. Everybody else did. God didn't find nothing wrong with Job. He reproved him during his testing for things he said, but all in all, God said he spoke well of me. And he passed the test when it was over. The other people didn't. So again, Jesus is saying to them, what sin can you accuse me of? And go ahead and use the law. See, all they could do was, well, you healed someone on the Sabbath. You worked. And he says, that's because you twisted the law and don't understand it. That's what he told them. He says, you hypocrites, you'd lift your donkey out of a ditch if it fell on the Sabbath, and you thought that's legal. Yet because I've healed a human being and delivered them from Satan's power and bondage, and you call me a hypocrite and say, well, I should have waited until the next day. See, he revealed to them what they were. So he says, which of you convinces me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He knows why, but I'm trying to get them to ask the question. He's trying to reason with them, you know, from the natural, and from, if they'll listen, you know, maybe a light will go on. But you're getting darker and darker, is what he's saying. It's getting harder and harder, you know. It's getting further and further. But he's trying to use what he can. As we give the gospel to people and they don't receive it, well, let's not be shocked. Most of them that Jesus preached to did not receive it. He who is of God hears the words of God. He's given them something that they're listening. He's saying, that's why you can't hear me. You're not of God. I just told you, you're children of the devil. So you can't understand the truth because you're in the spirit of lying. You've been blinded by your father. He's a liar. And you follow him and you do his will. You're a murderer and you're a liar. And therefore you reject the truth. For this reason you do not hear, because you are not of God. Again, he's telling them, you can say what you want. You're not the children of faith. You're not the true children of Abraham. You are disobedient, rebellious, hypocrites, false teachers. Your father's the devil. And then he could have added right here, a bit appropriate, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow a stranger. And those who reject God's word will not follow the truth. They will believe the lie and be damned. And Jesus had just said to him previously, what? You will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. Because the slave does not abide in the house forever. One day you're called into account and you will be cast into outer darkness. You will not live in the Father's house, you know. But my children, mine, follow the Lord. And again, if you continue in the Lord, he said, what? Then you're my disciples, and God will give you the truth. And he will continually give you the truth. And not only will it set you free, it will keep you free. You know, if you continue with him. Father, we thank you, Lord, that in you is truth and light, and in the devil is wickedness and darkness. Help us, Lord, to believe the truth, to accept the truth that you give us not only in your word, but that your spirit deals with us personally, that we can learn to obey you and not harden ourselves and open ourselves up to deception and lies, as many have done. Guard our minds and help us, Lord, not to make provision for the devil, not to reason with him, not to play his game, because he will win. Give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.